What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Bob, I always watch the Golden State Warriors on my phone.
Well, so
but that hasn't been a good idea lately.
They're not very good.
No. But I was watching them periodically amidst a weekend of football that I don't know is comparable to anything I've ever seen football-wise. And the results speak to that. There's never been four games decided in the final minutes by that narrow of a score ever on a football weekend, a playoff weekend, before. So where would you like to begin here? Want to do this chronologically where we go
back
to...
Yeah, why don't we go starting at 4:30 on Saturday, the first game, because that set the tone.
It really did, and I wasn't even going to watch this. I was doing other things on Saturday.
Just to show you, you never know.
Did it become interesting? The Rams almost lost, and then they come back and win, and they're a favorite now. In the second round, going on the road. But what about that game? Did you gain newfound respect for Carolina? How'd you feel about that one?
You know, I did. I wasn't aware that Dave Canales, we always talk about Dan Campbell and Detroit as the team that always goes for it on fourth down, sometimes recklessly. Well, he does it more than anyone. Like 33% of his fourth down plays this year were attempts to move the chains.
Yeah.
And he had a pretty good success rate. But sometimes you can overdo that also. Carolina's an up-and-coming team. I think, Bryce Young showed that his arrow is pointed up. They also play a pretty good brand of defense, but they ran into a buzzsaw in the fourth quarter when they allowed some things to happen. And once Matthew Stafford gets rolling and Puka Nacua and his group of receivers, that's a tough, tough team to try to stop. And he made a great throw to win the game to that tight end in the end zone. It was a perfectly placed pass. So Carolina gave a good showing, but man, it was a pretty entertaining game, and I did not think it would be. I agree with you. I thought it was going to be, as the point spread suggested, a 10-point game.
It concerned me if I'm looking at the Rams as a Super Bowl team, but you know what? It seems to be a weird matchup for them. They already lost there, and they came through, and nobody cares. You know, this is the NCAA tournament. This is survive in advance, and the Rams are pretty formidable. And the only thing I disagree with you there, I'm not convinced that Carolina is an up-and-coming team just yet, and I'm certainly not convinced on Bryce Young. Carolina finished the season 8-10. I mean, he was 21 of 40. He made some big throws. I'll give him that. He's gutsy, but I'm not sure if I'm a Carolina fan. I'm thinking, yeah, next year's the year for us. I don't think they're very good.
I think they made a lot of progress this year from where they were.
Yeah, I guess.
I think they have... You know, their back offensive backfield is a good one. I like them. Chuba Hubbard had to take a back seat to Dowdell, who came in, or Dowdle, however he says his name. He's a good player. They have some players who can make a difference, and I think they're going to just add to that group. And I just think they're an up and coming team, especially in that division where there aren't many very good teams.
When you can pass the ball the way the Rams can, you're a threat to win the Super Bowl. Period. That's why they were, against all odds, a real threat last year. And if they hadn't played in the snow in Philly, they might have been in the Super Bowl last year.
Is there a better receiver than Puka Nacua?
I couldn't believe he dropped that ball, but no, there's not many better ones. If there are one or two.
He very seldom does that, but just the way he plays and how he goes about his business, man, he's pretty good.
They're going to be a tough out here because Stafford's at the top of his game right now. He's great. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
But they got to go to Chicago.
I know, and I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win in Chicago. I will say this about the Bears. Let's just go to that game. Can we, Bob?
Yes.
The 2025 Chicago Bears are one of the most exciting teams. If you want to phrase it, they've had one of the most exciting seasons in the history of pro football. It has been remarkable what they do late in games. The comebacks that they've had.
Seven of them.
They're the greatest fourth quarter team maybe in the history of the league. How do they do it? They scored 25 points in the fourth quarter the other day.
Well, you can see the worst sometimes in Caleb Williams, and then you can see the best all in the same game. And in the first half, I thought he was off the mark. He threw a careless interception at the goal line. At that point, you thought, this is an 18-point deficit. Yes, they've come back, but there's no way they're going to come back from this deficit. No way. But boy, did they. And Green Bay has a lot to do with that, the way they played, I thought. And when you have a field goal kicker who misses two plus an extra point, that's 7 points. You talk about the importance of that game.
Yeah.
Brandon McManus, he's a veteran. I would not have expected that. But what a throw by Caleb Williams on that fourth down play where he had to roll left, jump in the air, and put it on the money for Loveland. That was as good a throw, and if they don't make that throw, they lose. It's as simple as that. It was almost like the likely play here in Pittsburgh where you got it and you thought the game's over at that point.
They're worth the price of admission. Every time I have tuned into a Bears game this season, I've been wildly entertained. Caleb Williams made one of the greatest throws I've ever seen. I don't mean to be talking in so many superlatives here, but
he did.
Have you seen many like that on fourth and eight where he's getting pounded backward to the ground and throws it over?
His left and threw it down the field
perfectly.
Oh, my God. It's crazy. That's how good the guy can be, though.
If he is able to rein in his accuracy the way Josh Allen did as his NFL career progressed, he is on track for the Hall of Fame. That's how talented he is. But I don't think they're ready yet.
No,
I don't think their defense is going to be able to stop the Rams. They'll make it entertaining. They always do. But I think the Rams win. What's the spread on that game?
The Rams are favored by 4 in Chicago.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I might make it more. I think the Rams are the team that could just pull away early, and they have a defense good enough to slow down Chicago in crunch time, whereas I thought Green Bay played a terrible fourth quarter all the way.
Those poor little Packers, Bob, they haven't won since Micah Parsons got injured.
Yeah, that was a game on a 5-game losing streak in the season.
That's why they got him, is to finish games like that, and
but
that's
still,
what he was doing.
Even without him, you can't give up an 18-point lead.
I know, but picture whoever you want to picture, the Steelers without T.J. Watt in all their recent, some of their recent playoff games, right? At least one of them.
I'm just saying that's, to me, that's inexcusable.
Yeah.
To go into a fourth quarter up by that many points and somehow you come away losing.
That crushed their team, though, to lose their defensive star.
Yeah,
it just emotionally and on the field just absolutely crushed them. All right. Then we got to Bills and Jags yesterday. I had a good luck charm, my dad's old pendant that he wore.
Oh,
I was carrying in my hands, watching with my wife. It was incredible. I mean, what Josh Allen did. Shaq Thompson's their best defensive player. They have no number one receiver. They have no pass rush. They were on the road going against that team, and Josh Allen just went full Superman.
He did, despite all the pressure he took, the hits he sustained, all of it, he still was there, and he wasn't reluctant to run himself when he had to. That one tush push that carried him like 10 yards into the end zone, I never saw quite a play like that one.
Incredible.
But, you know, the pass he made to the one tight end,
Kincaid.
Dalton Kincaid, it was a beautiful pass. It had
remember
to be
Mr.
exactly
Kincaid
there.
From the courtship of Eddie's father?
Yeah, but the play he made before then, I think it was the one to Brandon Cooks,
yeah,
where it was, you know, he was going backwards. They
and
had a blitz
hit.
On, and
yeah.
He took the hit and threw it right on the money. Man.
They were out to injure him. They were out to take him out, and that's a good team, Jacksonville. And I don't know how he does it, but he does it, and he's going to be
a
tough
out. Are they favored next?
Yeah, they are by 1.5 limits. The Bills in Denver, I think I saw, if I'm right
See,
about that.
I'm surprised
that.
By that. I am.
Yeah, they are.
Because I think Denver at home has been really good. They've shown resilience out there. You know, they have a good young quarterback. Everything about that game makes me believe Denver should be favored by 3 or 3.5. Not Buffalo in favor.
Number 17.
I understand
going
that.
Going against Bo Nix. I mean, that's...
Their defense is a different animal.
The Bills were favored in New England late in the year, Bob.
I know, which...
It's Josh Allen. And I guess the odds makers are more right than wrong, and I've been more wrong than right about
that.
So
if you had to place a wager on that, would you take Buffalo? Give
yeah,
a point? You
yeah, at this
See,
point, something's happening here.
Maybe.
Something's happening. He's going to be a tough knockout, I'll tell you that. You might have to knock him out.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, yeah.
What about Trevor Lawrence? He was awful. He made a couple of spectacular throws, but two interceptions. His accuracy was up and down, and Liam Cohen lost his mind by not running the ball. What is he doing? He threw it 30 times, and he only ran it 23 for 154 yards.
Well,
they should have run on every play.
Absolutely. Again, the numbers suggest you should, and that's what I've been wondering about the Steelers and some of their pass-run ratio, because the last few games, they're throwing the ball. Like even that Cleveland game, you're going against that defense without Metcalf. You're shorthanded to begin with, And they throw it 39 and run it 24. When they ran it 24, they averaged 5.5 yards a carry.
It was amazing
it's the same
to
thing.
Watch.
I mean, if you're
it really
if it's
was.
Working, just keep doing
keep
it, especially
doing
in
it.
Those kinds of games.
Keep doing it. Limits, were you proud of Penn State's very own Parker Washington?
He has really come on.
He
it's like a six-round pick years ago. He played very well. That was a great catch that he had in the end zone on that pass from Trevor.
He
the great
Jacoby yards.
Myers, only one catch, Bob.
And he was targeted on the interception on the deflected ball that the Bills sealed it on.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
That was not a bad throw, by the way. It was right there for him to get it, and it bounced off his hands.
Tre'Davious White, who's had a blown-out knee and an Achilles. The Bills' defense, there's nobody there that anybody worries about. Nobody. And yet they came through, I guess, sort of, in the end. They gave up two fourth-quarter touchdowns. I'm picking them over Denver, I'll tell you that right now. You guys?
No, I'm taking Denver.
I'm taking the Bills. I have the Bills winning the Super Bowl. I'm sticking by it. That was my day one pick.
He's sticking by it, Bob.
Who'd you have from the NFC?
The Lions. That's been way gone.
Yeah.
Did Larry Ogunjobi play in that game? I don't even know. He has no tackles. If
he does,
if he did.
He shows up every five plays and goes back to the bench.
I know, but for a one-day situation, he could be a good guy
to
have.
He's a game wrecker. He could be.
Is Ed Oliver? Oh. Ooh. Ed Oliver's return, quote, not out of the question for Bills Broncos. How about that, Bob?
They need as many people as they can get for that defense.
Well, he's their best player.
Yeah. So
that's their best player. And I say even if he has one arm, he should play.
I think Greg Rousseau is underrated. I think he does a pretty good job, you know, given that he's never talked about. But when he gets in there, he shows up.
He's all right. They really don't have a pass rush. 49ers 23, Eagles 19. I picked the Eagles in this game. I guess the Eagles were broken. I thought they'd put it together for the playoffs. What are you doing in Philly? Because Nick Sirianni wants his best friend to call plays? Is that the problem
there?
Yeah,
apparently that was a big problem. And, you know, so if you make that choice, you know, they don't have a lot of patience in Philadelphia. Jeffrey Lurie is capable of saying, you know what, you cost us. We're looking for another coach.
They're going to have a new offensive coordinator, 100%.
Oh, 100%. But I also thought A.J. Brown had some really potentially decent plays, big plays that he brought.
Something
about him has changed. He's not the once dynamic player I thought he was.
I haven't. The whole A.J. Brown story, last year they wanted us to believe he was opening a book and reading on the sidelines because he always does that. That was just normal. No, he was doing it because he wasn't getting the ball and he wanted everybody to look at him. If I'm not going to do anything, I might as well read.
And that's why he and Sirianni went at it on the sidelines too.
Well, he wouldn't get off the field fast enough on a third down. He's worn out his welcome. And it's one thing if you're making plays, you put up with that. When you're dropping balls on potential game-winning drives right in your hands on third down, it's time.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
So maybe we can do the A.J. Brown Steelers sweepstakes this summer, Bob.
Yeah, I
can't wait for that.
There's a part of me that doesn't want to deal with him after what I've seen now.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know. I don't think you don't fire a guy a year after going to the Super Bowl. But
no,
I'll say this.
But I'm saying they don't
Sirianni's
have a lot of patience.
He's on a short leash there. He is. They got rid of Doug Peterson a year and a half after that Super Bowl he won. Do you know that?
Yeah. But, you know, those fans over there, man, they get out of hand real quickly.
They turn on you in a hurry, don't they?
It's unbelievable how fast.
And then the Niners. What do we make of that story?
I mean, Kyle Shanahan did all the things he needed to do. But, here's the thing. They had a beautiful play call where Jennings, who was a quarterback in high school and college.
Oh.
They made a good catch, too, by Christian McCaffrey. That
Very
was not
good.
An easy
Very
ball to locate because it wasn't where you would have thought it would have been. That was a great call at a great time. He took a hit, too. Did you see the hit that Jennings took?
Bob, when I saw that throw, and maybe you guys can give me a better one, and Randall L's Super Bowl throw was phenomenal because it was on the run.
On the run,
and
right on the money.
Right on the money, but he wasn't getting hit.
No.
I think this was the greatest playoff pass by a non-quarterback in the history of the league. I could be forgetting one.
No.
Somebody else tell me.
No.
This dude was getting hit.
You don't agree with that?
No, Randall L is 1,000% better. Because of the distance plus the accuracy. I know he wasn't getting hit. But, I mean, we're going to talk about Jennings' pass was, 20 yards?
Yeah,
Randall L.
He was
that
getting
50 yards.
He was getting laid out limits.
I'm aware.
It's at least a conversation.
Randall Ells was also a more accurate pass than Jennings.
It was a well-executed
Jennings was a pretty
play.
Damn good pass.
It was a good pass. But, I mean, it was right in the breadbasket for Hines Ward on that throw from Randall Ells.
It was perfect. The execution on every level was great.
Plus
the
distance of it.
But when you take into account that this guy's going to get laid out, he knows it.
I think that makes the difference for me.
I'm not going to pick that over the Super Bowl because I still think Super Bowl plays are extremely high on the list of plays you should remember because of the circumstances. But in this case, that throw, given the pressure he was under, given the time of the game they called it and how meaningful that play was, it's right up there for sure.
45 yards. Believe me. I mean, we're talking in the context of the greatest plays ever, the greatest throws ever by a non-quarterback. Randall L's throw was incredible. It was 45 yards in the air.
Do you remember they did that Randall L play in the Cincinnati game, the first game they played in the playoffs?
Yes, I do.
But it was the other
way. Wilson.
It was the other side of the field. And they called it again. Ken Wisenhunt liked it, called it, and two for two.
So I'm watching the Randall L play, and now I'll watch the Jennings play, which was, Limits wants to make it like it was nothing. It was 40. So don't tell me how much longer it was. 45 to 40 yards in the air. And he's getting hit.
The Jennings ones was 40 yards?
It's 39 yards, right to the goal line. Go watch it, Limits. It's all over the internet. And he's getting hit. And the pitch out wasn't great. It was off balance. So, all right.
Joe's talking himself into this one for sure.
No, I mean, I said it when it happened.
I agree.
I put it ahead of Randall L because he's getting smacked right as he releases it.
The only thing is Randall L's came in a Super Bowl. At a time, you know, that was a tough defensive game there for a while, and that broke that game. And it was just, he was wide open. It was
this one won
throw.
The game, Bob.
I understand that. But I think the circumstances are even bigger in a Super Bowl. When they called it, how it went, and the throw being perfect. In this case, it was also a play. It was a wonderful play call at the right time.
Well, we can agree to disagree on that. They're close. They're very close. Is there another one? Can anybody, I mean, was the greatest throw by a non-quarterback in playoff history in the NFL?
There had to be a number of halfback option passes.
Wendell Tyler did one against the Steelers. It was a short little throw. Yeah,
the Philly special.
Yeah. The Philly, who threw that one?
He was wide open.
That was a short little,
That's a hell of a throw, though, but it's not this.
No.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, look, don't get me wrong, Joe. The Jennings throw was incredible. It was. I just think the magnitude of the Antoine Randall L one, especially, too, being in a Super Bowl like Bob mentioned.
I don't know. Isn't a Super Bowl not really different from a win or die? Aren't they all playoff games?
Yeah, but it's the Super Bowl.
They're not even to the. You got to get there first.
Yeah, that's my point about the Jennings throw.
Yeah, you got to get to the Super Bowl.
That's why it was more important because it came on the grandest of stages.
Okay. I mean, I think win or die, go home playoff games are all pretty much written the same. You got to get there.
Yeah, you can't say that a wild card playoff game is the same as a Super Bowl, though, Joe, right?
No, actually, I can.
Okay.
Because the stakes are the same. You win or you go home. At least you're already in the Super Bowl. When you're in the Super Bowl, you got there. Here, you're not even there yet. You're on the road in a hostile environment, taking a bad pitch out and getting blasted as you release the ball, and he throws it 39 yards on a dime. But this isn't the conversation I intended to have, Bob. Are there any others?
No, but here's the thing about that, too. You know, these teams, they go deep into preparation, and you do scout teams that have former quarterbacks playing other, positions. And you know.
Is he a college quarterback, Jennings?
Yes.
Where did he play?
I forget, but
he committed to Tennessee. Here's the funny thing about it. He was a higher-ranked recruit than Sam Darnold, Joe Burrow, and Lamar Jackson
coming
out of high school.
Everybody knew he could throw the ball. They knew it. It's just that they bid on it, and those secondary people allow McCaffrey to go right down, just blow by everybody. They had to know that he was capable of doing that with all the prep work.
And I'll say this, too. He converted to wide receiver in college. So was he ever even a quarterback in college?
He was a real good quarterback in high school. I know that.
So that would be the other difference here is in Randall L, you had a legitimate and great college quarterback making
Indiana.
The throw.
Yep.
Here you had a college receiver who's been in the pros for a while making the throw. But I realize, we're in Pittsburgh here, Bob. So the Randall L play, and the Randall L play was unbelievable. I've said that the Randall L pass was one of the top five passes in Super Bowl history, maybe top 10, period. It was unbelievable.
What are Antoine Randall L's overall passing numbers in the pros?
158.3 passer rating. Perfect passer, I think.
How many attempts?
I think he has ridiculous numbers. We just talked about this last week. Because Josh Miller has the greatest passer rating in Steelers history.
Yes, he does.
Randall L. did not have a perfect passer rating. Listen to this. In his career, he was 22 of 27 for 323 yards, 6 touchdowns, and no picks.
Yeah, it was really good.
156.1.
Secret weapon he was, and they utilized it at just the right time.
It was a great call. Garo Yepremian had a pretty good pass, Bob. I was reminded of somebody, right?
That was funny. That was one of the blooper plays you'll see over and over again. Poor Garo.
Remember when they threw it to Tom Brady in a Super Bowl a couple years ago? Oh, it would have been like 90 now for
and
the
he
Patriots.
Was frozen in time.
In Philly.
Wait, that happened the other day. Which quarterback got thrown a pass? The other was it Herbert or May? No. It was May last
I think it was
night.
May.
Yeah. Did you see that?
It
Bob?
Was overthrown.
No,
yeah, it was overthrown.
I didn't see it because we were doing other shows, so I didn't pay attention so much to the last game.
Limits has now admonished me twice, Bob.
Yeah,
remember the first segment?
He's on the offensive, as they say.
Bob, I'm sorry. I thought Joe's.
Why didn't you order dessert the other day,
the
Limits?
Wild card. Well, because I was full. I was honestly full. I had a small little.
How about
piece
Joe?
Of
how about if he did this?
Dom's
how about if he was
dessert.
Full, but yet he ordered a dessert and said to the waiter or waitress,
"I'll take it home.
I'll take it home. Could you please box that? What would you have thought of that?
That would have not been good. Donnie Bob. Back there, Donnie is claiming, and for those who don't know, I took a couple of the producers out for a steak dinner based on intern Dom's trivia answer.
Which we are very grateful for. Thank you again, Joe.
We had a wonderful time. Bob's name came up a couple times.
I don't even know why, but go ahead.
Donnie back there said he could have gone deeper by ordering a drink, or what else did he say? He was gonna order something else. Before his meal, another appetizer.
Hello, appetizer.
Maybe?
They have good appetizers too, so you should have done
very
that.
Good appetizers. Yeah, we did not get any drinks.
A little calamari or a little, you know, they have a shrimp thing that's really good.
Well, Joe gave us a heads up a couple of days before the dinner, no drinks, and we weren't sure if he was joking or not, so we decided not to get any drinks.
No, that was a joke. I said, right when we got to the place, I said, get whatever you want. We're here to enjoy ourselves. Of course you could have gotten a drink.
I was only going to get a drink if everyone else did. I was not going to be the one that started that because I felt bad because, Joe, you've treated me very well.
You didn't feel that bad.
You ordered a steak the size of Mulsey's cranium.
Yeah, but it was right around the same price as yours.
I was trying to get more
bang for your buck,
How about
Joe?
If Joe would have said, here are the ground rules. There are no drinks, and then he would have been the one to order the first drink. What would you have thought of that?
I mean, I did. I got a cranberry juice and club soda, Bob.
No, I'm not talking about that kind of drink.
Listen, these guys weren't shy. We got three appetizers. Donnie got a Caesar salad for himself.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And then intern Dom ordered bread pudding, which cost like a down payment on a house, but it was worth it.
It was very good.
And then Donnie got a piece of cheesecake, right? So we were all good.
Did. And you had a dessert, and intern Dom had a dessert.
Exactly.
And I had a little piece of Dom's dessert.
What was your favorite appetizer, Limits? The sweet potato crumble was to die for,
See,
wasn't
here's
it?
The thing. I've never eaten that before, and it was incredible. Like, I love sweet potato fries, but the sweet potato crumble was, oh, man, it was very good, Bob. Plus the mashed potatoes. I like mashed potatoes.
Are they garlic mashed? Because those are the best ones. When they put a little garlic in there.
I don't know. You always know a place is good, in my opinion, when the bread's nice and hot and fresh, and it was good, Bob. Oh, it was real good.
Yeah, you don't want a hard roll.
No.
You know, something you got to crank into with a drill.
No. And then the salads is also a good barometer for me. Like,
fresh.
If they just give you, like, a hunk of iceberg lettuce chopped up with something on it, nobody wants that.
Well, have you ever tried the wedge?
Well, the wedge is a different story. It's designed to be that way.
It's designed to be, yeah. It's a good one.
But you know what I mean. When you get brown lettuce and stuff like that, nobody wants that. So you can tell the quality of a place by the salad and the bread.
Mm-hmm.
And we were pleased. Legend has it that Stephen A. Smith is in our midst limits. Is that right?
There is a rumor that he is going to be here to do his show, yes.
At what time?
1 o'clock, his show begins.
Well, why don't you go over to where he's doing his show and ask him to join us for 10 minutes, would you? Bob, are you game for that?
Bob, sure. Could you come over with me? And it would
Bob, does
be
he
extra
know you?
Pull if you're
where
there.
Is no. I,
do you
I've
know
never,
him?
I've never met him, no.
Well, why don't you go meet him? You'd give
Where
a,
is he?
He's somewhere in the building.
He's somewhere in the building. We're going to go find him.
Okay.
All right.
We're
you guys go on that mission. So that could happen next. Or we're going to have a Limitless Express where we take a little dive into the rest of the sports world before coming back to a big, huge night of Steeler playoff football. That's all ahead on Pomp and Joe.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Well, that was mighty interesting.
Yes, it was.
We went on a little field trip during that intermission to go visit Stephen A. Smith, who's doing his show from our building today.
Mm-hmm.
And man, was that incredible. Limits was there in his Aaron Rodgers shirt. Bob was there in, well, no, you're not wearing a suit today.
No.
But immediately, our boss back introduced us all to Stephen A. T-Bird was a nervous wreck, wasn't he, Bob? Did you see him coming past? He brushed past us, say, excuse me, I got to go set something up. T-Bird is very nervous about setting up the show back there.
But he looked like he did a good job setting it up.
He always does, Limits. He always does. And I certainly wasn't questioning T-Bird's credibility. And then we all met Stephen A. Limits said hello. I said, good to meet you. And Bob immediately got into suit talk with Stephen A. about how much the suits cost. That was an interesting conversation, Bob, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you know, I've heard him talk about this before, but I mean, he takes his appearance very seriously and what it means in terms of interviews and things that he does, and he likes to dress to the nines. So
he said he grew up poor in New York and had this fear that he was, you know, going to fail interviews or not get a job someday or lose a job or whatever. And so he makes sure that he has, how many suits does he have? 43, he said?
40 some, yeah. 150 ties.
Yeah.
Lots of slacks, blazers, all this stuff. But I mean, hey, why not? I'm a big believer. I tell anyone who wants to come and make impressions in the business, if you're in for an interview, make sure you dress as if you respect yourself and that person you're about to be interviewed by.
You two bonded over suits. I could tell it. I could tell that there was a bond there. Couldn't you, Limits, that these were two people out of you and I's stratosphere?
Oh, definitely. Especially for me, just the owner of one suit compared to the Rolodex
exactly.
that Bob has in his closet.
How many do you have again, Bob? We did this last week. You have more than Stephen A., don't you?
About the same, I guess. Mm-hmm. Not as many ties, although I do have a lot of ties. He likes the shirts, too. The shirts, you can tell, are crisp.
And he was soft-spoken,
yeah.
Wasn't he?
Not exactly what you see on the air, but I've heard that before about him, that he's, you know, that's his air motif. You know,
and he thinks the Steelers are going to win tonight, but he's not confident.
He's not confident. He doesn't know how you're going to score a lot of points against that Texas defense.
He's a Steeler fan, he said.
He's always been one, yeah. But I agree with that. I think it's going to be low scoring because of that. So
Limits, what impressions did you leave of Stephen A. Smith?
I was just struck by their crew and their setup and how nice everybody was and how you see Stephen A. on TV and talking to him in person. I mean, he's down to earth, friendly to talk to. Pony was chopping it up with him as well.
Pony came flying in there in his Steeler jersey.
Yeah, he went right ahead of us.
And went right ahead of us.
Just moved in. Yeah. It was like a bully attempt.
He was very giving with his time talking to us.
Yeah.
What did you think of Pony's maneuver there, Limits?
Well, I really didn't like that Pony immediately came in and said, Limits, there's dead air going out over the station right now. You better go in there and fix that. And I said, no, there's not. I make sure that we would not.
And then he pushed to the front of the line and started talking to Stephen A.
Yep, he did. He said, hey, Andrew Filippone, the last time that I spoke to you was...
With Terry Fox. They got into a Terry Fox conversation. Yep. He was our original programming.
Yeah, and apparently
boss.
Terry had talked to him yesterday.
Stephen talked to Terry yesterday,
for whatever reason.
That was incredible. It was fun, and it was a good field trip. Do you agree?
I agree. But, Joe, I thought you were going to ask him to come on with us.
No, because he was on the air in 15 minutes, and you could tell he's prepping for the show.
When we walked in there, I thought he was in the middle of prep stuff.
At least I got his prediction. Limits didn't even ask him anything like that. I said to Limits, try to tape him, say, give me a minute on the Steeler game. Did you think about that, or was it time to go?
I did, but after Pony came in and
Pony
gave
bullied
me that
his
scare,
way in, Bob, didn't he?
Hmm? He made
Pony
me think we were off the air,
in.
Bob. And that's not good. That's the number one job of a producer. Make sure that we're on the air.
He tried to trick Limits into leaving, and then he barged in front of me.
There. Yeah. Do you think he got a picture?
Probably. Yeah. Man, Stephen A., you could argue, is the biggest. Let me think
he
about
McAfee
this.
Right
let me
now.
Think. The biggest sports media star there's ever been? Is that accurate?
I mean,
the highest paid created. There's ever been.
Yeah, he's one of the highest paid, and
one of the who's higher paid, him or McAfee?
He also, I don't know that they're both high paid, but that's a different stratosphere of money that they're getting. But he also has, you know, he's delved into politics quite a bit now, and I was surprised I saw that. And he does separate things about politics, so he's branching out. There was a thought that he could maybe put his hat in the ring for presidential material at some point. So I don't know what his future goals are, but I do know. That he knows how to conduct a show, and he'll go in crazy takes once in a while and forget when they're wrong, not to come back to them. But we all do that.
Well, I mean, that's what we do. If you're giving 17 hot takes a day, but like Colin Cowherd said one day, I'm not paid to be right. I'm paid to be entertaining. Pat McAfee clocks in at $17 million a year. This was as of September. So I don't know if people have signed new deals. This is Bleacher Report, and this is Pompeiani money. McAfee was $17 million this year. Number four is Tony Romo. Fittingly, there's a shot of him playing golf, $18 million. Limits, you were on the phone earlier with a listener. Romo has gone to pot. I mean, God, what has happened?
That's a little harsh, isn't it?
No, I think he's gone from being – I wrote a column once that I think this might be the greatest football analyst ever to now I can't even listen to him.
Yeah, I mean, year one, he was just – dissecting the plays before they even happened, and he was telling you, okay, this is what's going to happen with this formation, this set, and it was jarring, and it wasn't overwhelming. Like some people think that the broadcast with Lewis Riddick and Dan Orlovsky was too in the weeds of football terminology. Romo said things the way that people could understand it, mm-hmm. watching the game for the regular football fan. But
no,
now
he's
just
like Mike McDaniel. He's just all over the place. This is something that Romo said yesterday. You ready for this? Are you ready for this, Limits?
He said, here we go, Jim.
I don't think we've ever seen it where it's like, who's going to win? I don't know. I'm pretty good at football knowledge, and I don't know. Today's going to be very telling, though, because Jacksonville is a complete football team. Carolina did that yesterday. They earned the respect, almost won, but they didn't. But they didn't. And then he said, Jacksonville's in that same situation. They could do it. This could be a major upset, even though it's not really an upset because the Bills are actually the underdog, but they're the overdog. We'll see today. What is going on?
Really frustrated at the, just like his.
It's I don't know. That's just my opinion. I think that's a lot of people's opinions, but it's just an opinion. Troy Aikman comes in at $18 million. Charles Barkley at $21 million, Bob.
Wow, Tom, I didn't know that.
Tom Brady at $37.5 million.
That's the thing that tipped everything, and it actually helped other people get more money.
And the guy we just met clocks in at number one sports media paid in the world, $40 million for that man you just met. I should have asked him for a loan.
Wait a minute, is that a year?
Yeah.
That seems a little high to me. I thought maybe it's right. I don't know. I thought they were dealing. I was looking at the New York Post when they're on top of these sorts of things.
No, this is how it works. He has a five-year, $105 million deal with ESPN.
Right.
A three-year contract for $36 million at Sirius XM.
That's what he's doing right now.
And his YouTube channel is in the $40 million range annually. So this dude is absolutely crushing us, yes.
Well, I'm surprised he only has 40 suits.
How about that? Brady is second, and I'll say Brady's gotten better.
I still think Greg Olsen is better than Brady.
He is.
I like listening to Greg Olsen. He had to take a back seat.
He's pretty good. He's smooth.
And I also think people in this town do not want to admit this, but Chris Collinsworth is a very good analyst of plays. He will tell you when they go to exactly what just happened, and he does it, I think, better than just about everybody.
As a guy with an annoying voice myself, I think that Collinsworth's voice annoys people.
But what about his work?
He's pretty good.
He's good at it. Yeah. He knows what he's seeing, what he
he's
has
He's not
seen.
This good, Bob. Do you have Brady on throwing into the wind limits?
I saw
that. No, but I saw the clip.
I sent you the clip to play today.
No, you didn't send me the clip.
Yes, I did. Anyway, that was great. And I think he's gotten better and better, Bob.
I do, but I'm thinking that Olsen, again, had to take a back seat and a pay cut to accommodate him, and I don't think that's right.
He's Tom Brady.
I understand that.
What do you mean it's not? I mean, it's not like Greg
Olsen's
crying
poor. I'm not asking you. No, but he took less money so Brady can get $37 million. I'm asking you straight up, forget the salaries. Who's better?
Brady.
I disagree.
So does Limits.
I definitely think
Olsen's better. Now, Brady has gotten better.
He has gotten better. But at this moment, I think Olsen is underrated.
But it's also star power, and he's Tom Brady, and Greg Olsen isn't.
I get that. I understand that.
And it's not like he's not – what is Olsen making? I'm sure a pretty penny.
They're all in the millions, yeah. So I don't know. But it just seems
Curb Street's at $16 million. Shaq's at $15 million. Al Michaels is still at $15 and Joe Buck at $15
million. Well, where is my man Jim? He should be in there. If he's not, then they need to redo his contract, I think.
He's not in here. Bob, does it make that much of a difference? Like, would the NFL still get the same ratings for their games if it was anybody almost on, or are they worth it?
I still think the game trumps everything. You know what I mean? If you got a game, like we saw in that Packers fourth quarter game, it doesn't matter who's doing what. You're enthralled with the product.
Do you agree with that, Twitter everything?
Well, I mean, if it's, I don't know, the Browns against Jacksonville, right, I don't think the ratings will be as good. But if the game is still really good.
Would Bills Jags have gotten the exact same rating without Nance and Romo? Yes. I say yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Are they worth tens of millions of dollars? I just wonder.
I mean, I think that's the market that's been set, and people are into who's involved in game calling. Yes, they have a pecking order in each network because of it. So, yes, that matters. But to me, the game sells itself. I don't think you need, and I say this in someone who respects all their jobs because I know how hard it is to do those jobs. And you put in a instant situation where you got to make a comment about something. The prep work you put into it has to come into play instantly whenever you're doing. That's hard.
Yeah.
But if the game is a dud, it doesn't matter who's calling the game.
Who's the greatest pair ever? I still say Summerall and Madden.
Only because that goes back. I still think Howard Cosell is a unique guy who brought that Monday night time slot to where it is and where it's been.
Yeah.
He was unique in a way that, how many times have they tried to replicate that with Dandy Don and Howard Cosell?
Yeah.
And, they've had how many combinations at ABC over the years and ESPN when they've done it? So it's not easy to do.
I know.
But I still think the game is the game. If you have a great game, people are going to watch a great game.
Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan
Super
Service.
How much does Peyton Manning make?
That's a great question.
He should be...
Yeah, I would think he would be in here. Maybe a lot of his is endorsement money.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Which I think this is just like base salary for what you actually do. Ben, I guess, will be on the Manning night.
I'm sure he will be. Should be.
See, I'm going to watch the Manning cast tonight. I enjoy that more than a regular broadcast. You?
How much of that can you take, though, on a regular basis?
A lot of it. It's entertaining. I don't need some...
Oh, it is entertaining, but I don't think I want to watch it every single game.
Here's the thing Susie and I were saying during the game. I don't need to hear a Tony Romo three-hour monologue. What he has never mastered is the ability to let the game breathe for a moment. Could you please stop talking?
Sometimes you can overtalk. There's no question about that. So,
and guys like Pat Summerall was a master at that.
Oh, he was the opposite way, right? He would know when not to talk and when to talk.
Yes. That's why I watched the Manning cast. I don't need to hear Romo or anybody else analyzing that 3-yard gain. I can see the game, but right. I'd rather be entertained by a guest and have fun, because really, in the end, this is all about fun. This is the toy store.
It's entertainment. That's
the toy store of life.
That's why I tell people who get annoyed with how things are going up, and sure, there are ups and downs. You're a fan. But, man, it's entertainment.
Yeah.
It's some of the best entertainment you can get. So enjoy it while you see it.
Especially this past weekend, and especially tonight. And that's what we get back to next, is some predictions for tonight, some over-unders. How's the game going to go? Will the Steelers advance and head on to their house of horrors in playoffs past, or really games past, and that would be Foxborough, Bob.
Yeah.
Different quarterback, different cast of characters.
Yeah, absolutely, but it's still the same place. And they have a couple of things they'd like to exercise there. I'd like to see them get that chance.
If you ask me right now at 1:01 p.m. on January, what's the date today, Bob? The 13th?
13th?
No. The 12th?
12th.
The 11th? 12th. I think the Steelers will be hosting the AFC title game against Josh Allen. That's what I think. Yeah. Yeah. The Bills are a favorite in Denver. It would take the Steelers winning at home tonight going to beat a team that they've already beaten at that venue.
I mean, it's not out of the question. Don't get me wrong.
It's not.
It's just that this road is not going to be as smooth as a lot of people think. Tonight's game is a tough game.
Of course it is.
It's a tough matchup, which is why they're favored.
And yet, among us three, you're predicting the widest margin of victory.
I am, because I feel pretty confident that the Steelers defense can disrupt their offense more so than the Texans defense can disrupt the Steelers. I think they're going to have their share of points. It won't be a big amount of them, but enough to win the game.
Here's a good omen. 32 degrees at kickoff. Franco Harris with a low of 30. Jaylen Warren. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. A 1 o'clock power hour of Steelers Texans coming up next. 412-928-9370.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.